Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be out here. We're thankful that we all made it up the mountain to pray for our friends who are still on their way, that they would all make it here safe. And even more than that, we pray that you would, we know that you are here already, but that you would just meet us in a special way, that each of us would come away with something that we can apply to our lives, and ultimately that you would speak to us, that through your Spirit, that you would touch something in our hearts that needs to change in us personally. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so excited to be with you guys, and I love your leaders. I love your ministry. You know, like you said, we joked, like, we kind of hit the two big party schools. You guys got the NorCal one, we got San Diego State, and so we got to hit that. We got to get all the ones in between now. So that's what we're working on in California. And also, Seth Gatchel, he's back here. He's going to be your other main speaker. And it was cool. I just touched base with him. He's like, what are you speaking on? And they're like, both of us, I'm going to be talking about becoming a lifelong laborer. And what was your title, Seth? Walking with Jesus for a lifetime. So noticing a theme here. Let's go. And I think, you know, one of the things that I'm really excited, the reason I've been investing in college students, it's been about 20 years, if you count the years that I was a college student. So, you know, longer than some of you guys have been alive, which is cool. I am so passionate about students, because if you can get on fire for God now, you have the rest of your life to make disciples and be involved in what God is doing in the world. And that's inspiring, but that is if you don't get distracted. See, what happens is so often is people they're in challenge, or they're in a college ministry, and they're gung-ho, and they're around all their friends, and everyone's excited about memorizing scripture and quiet time and sharing the gospel. But then when you get out into the real world, quote-unquote, right, that you kind of drift away. And there's people that they fall through the cracks. You've heard the whole thing about deconstruction and how, you know, there's people that they kind of drift away from their faith. And so what I want to do is, in my three sessions with you and Seth in his sessions, is what we want to help you do is develop a kind of a foundation that you can lay on. And if you apply these principles to your life, they can be things that can help you to become a lifelong laborer. And I was joking with Seth, like, to you guys, I'm like the old guy. You know, I'm 40. I just turned 40, you know? So I'm the old guy, but then, you know, Seth, he gets to be like the real old guy, you know? But we're friends, by the way, you know, so we can do that. So my hope for you is that many of you in this room, you would just kind of catch that. And so we're going to look at that. And one of the things that I've titled this message, Invest in the Best, because one of the things that I've realized is that there's so many things in life to distract you. And actually, honestly, one of the benefits of being up here, I on the tiny mic video, I watched that, and one of the people said there's no cell signal. So that's one of the beautiful things about being up here, because there's very few distractions. Maybe the only thing that you might be the dog on up. You might be like, let's see if we have a picture of that. Do we have that? The dog on up? Yeah, you might get a little distracted. That might be the thing that distracts you. Squirrel, okay? But other than that, there's not a lot of other distractions up here. For so many of us, I don't have to convince you about how distracting this little device is, from endless entertainment options and social events and social media news feeds. And I have, you know, my wife and I, I put the kids to bed, and I kind of laying down with my kids, and the Instagram reel black hole, it's real, right? So we end up sending each other reels in the other room. I don't know if you guys do that with each other. But on top of that, you have challenge, you have church, you have your homework. Don't think about that this week. Take a break. But, and you know, I don't know about you, but personally, I suffer from the fear of missing out. But over the years, I've realized that it's actually ironically, it's my fear of missing out that actually makes me miss out on what matters most. Because I'm so worried about chasing like the next thing or missing out on something that I actually miss out on the most important thing. So part of maturity is coming to grips with your finitude. Coming to grips with the fact that you are limited, that you can only do so much. And if you try to do everything, you end up accomplishing nothing. So tonight, I want to explore two trades that we each must make to invest in what's best. And we're gonna base it on, you've heard of the Tale of Two Cities? Well, this is the Tale of Two Sisters. We're gonna look at two sisters and this story in the Gospel of Luke. And so the first trade that we must make in order to invest in the best is to trade the good for the great. Trade the good for the great. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 10. We'll also have it on the outline and on the screen. But it says this, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving." Now, before you start judging Martha, I want you to put yourself in her sandals. Jesus is coming to your house, right? Like you, she wasn't just hostess of the mostest, she was hostess of the Most High, right? That's my dad joke for the day, right? But the king of the universe is coming to your house, you're gonna wanna roll out the red carpet. And actually the biblical value is in Romans 12, it says that we are to practice hospitality. So she was doing something that was really good, really important, a very valuable thing. Obviously serving Jesus is a good thing. It just was not the best thing in that moment. Notice Dr. Luke, his diagnosis, he says she was distracted. You gotta circle that word. She was distracted with much serving. The word distracted, it means to be overburdened by various distractions, as to be worried and anxious. In other words, distracting is kind of putting too much attention on the wrong thing. Can anyone relate? Yeah. Again, back to the phone thing. One study showed that the average person touches their phone 2,600 times a day. So imagine the germs too, by the way. Think about that. And you know, it's not just the bad things that distract us. Even good things can become distractions if they steal our attention away from the best things. So here's the principle, is that the right thing at the wrong time can still be the wrong thing. This is when it comes to obeying Jesus, we have to learn to discern what is the right thing in this moment by the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice while Martha, she was frantically getting the food ready, Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. She knew that the real nourishment was coming from Jesus. See, one of the tragic results of a distracted life is it squeezes out the much needed space necessary for meaningful relationships. So if we're always running from one thing to the next, we cannot have that unhurried time to be with people. And in this case, a relationship with Jesus himself. Martha was so distracted working for Jesus, she failed to be with Jesus. And so what about you? Are you more naturally a Mary or a Martha? Do you find yourself prioritizing people or projects? I didn't cue him on that, but he said it. One of the greatest gifts that you can give the people in your life is just being fully present with them. This applies to all relationships, but even more so to Jesus Christ. So to sit, and you notice her posture, she was sitting at his feet. What that implies is humble submission. And so for us, it's in the sitting and submitting that gives us the power to stand up and serve. And in other words, our intimacy fuels ministry. One thing I love about Chico Challenge is you guys are passionate about evangelism. You're passionate about making disciples. But if you are going to do that over the long haul, you first have to start with the foundation of intimacy with Jesus. And don't get me wrong, Jesus worked long and hard. He worked harder than any of us. There's some days where he didn't even have time to eat, it says. He didn't have time to eat. There were so many people coming and going, and he's like, "Hey guys, we gotta get away." And then they actually went across the lake in their boat. And the people literally, they found out, I don't know how they found out on BuzzFeed or something, they found out, and they literally ran across the lake and they found where he was gonna be. And they showed up there and it says that Jesus had compassion on them and he started to teach them. And then he taught them all day into the afternoon. And then the disciples are like, "Dude, where are we gonna get some food?" That's my translation, right? and basically that's when Jesus turned, you know, multiplied the bread, multiplied the fishes. And then it was only after that he went away and prayed to his father. So Jesus, he was a busy dude, but he was busy doing the right things. But if you notice this, even when he was exhausted, he didn't just go to sleep, he went to his father in prayer. So So that's another principle, that if you're going to develop a prayer life that actually makes a difference, you're going to have to sacrifice some sleep. That's just the reality. You're probably going to have to sacrifice some Netflix too. they usually go together. That's when Netflix says our biggest competition is sleep, right? So like Martha, most of us are not filling our lives with lots of bad things. If you're here, you're probably one of those people. You're filling your life, but you're filling it with a lot of good things. So this principle changed my life in college. The good is often the enemy of the best. What good things might you need to say no to so that you can say yes to the best thing? Like he mentioned, that I was doing challenge and I love challenge, but I had felt a calling to plant a church. And so I had to let go of that in order to do the next thing. Another thing that I've done recently is it's a pretty radical step. Maybe I'm not saying you have to do this, but I took social media off my phone. It's only on my iPad now. So it's like, I can still do it. You know, I still do it. I'm not that extreme, right? But it's amazing how much time that will save. So just little things like that. You sometimes, also if you guys know me, I pretty much wear like the same outfit every day. So it's just one less thing to worry about. Anyway, I'm not saying you need to do any of that, but you do need to know when to say no and when to say yes. Some of you have heard about, you know, a lot of you probably have to-do lists, but one pastor recommends making a not to-do list. What are the things that you're just not going to do? What if you kind of just pre-decided things? These are things this is I don't do. This is categorical decision-making. Ultimately, your life is made up of what you say yes to and what you say no to. And here's the deal. Every time you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to everything else. You think of it that way? And it is, so we must learn to say no for the sake of a bigger yes. That is the ultimate principle, is because, yeah, so many of us, we're saying yes, yes, yes to all these different small things. And then what that does, it squeezes out the time that we might have for the most important things. And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to slow down, and I would just recommend being slow with your yeses and quick with your noes. Because the type of people, you know, there's the type of people that they overpromise and they underdeliver. That's not good. It's better to be someone who underpromises and overdelivers. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So be slow with your yeses and make your yes really mean something. And so here's the principle. This is in life, but also in ministry. To be effective, be selective. Again, true success is not about doing more. It's about doing more of what matters most. So it's a bit of an overstatement, but Dawson Trotman, if some of you have heard of him, he's the guy who started the Navigators ministry, which we highly respect at Challenge. And he said this quote, "Never do anything that someone else can and will do when there's so much of importance to be done which others cannot or will not do." Now, again, that's a bit of an overstatement. You know, you can do some things that other people can do. But the reality is, what if we invested our life in doing the things that other people cannot do or will not do? You know, I want to honor the staff, the Challenge staff, that they're doing something that a lot of people are unwilling to do. They're raising their support. They're laying down their lives for you guys because they realize that's something that not everyone is willing to do. And, you know, when I was in college ministry, a lot of people would ask me, so when are you gonna become a pastor? And it's like, whenever God calls me to do that. But it's just like, you know, it's annoying. It gets annoying after a while, right? But because this is just, reality is, this is one of the most strategic things that you can possibly do. So I want to challenge you to pray through that. What are the things that only you can do? You know, for me, it's like I can be a parent to my three boys, a father to my three boys. And so one helpful tool for discerning this is called the urgent important matrix. Some of you guys have heard this. It's really practical. So we're going to look at it, pull it up on the screen. And so there's basically four categories of opportunities. The top left is the important and urgent. So in that box, you can just write the big do now. Those are the things you need to do right now. If you have a paper due the next day, do it right now, okay? Top right is important but not urgent. These are the things you can write the word decide. These are things that are important to schedule time for, like spiritual disciplines, like Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, personal growth. And a lot of times these things, the not urgent but the important, these are things that no one's really asking you about. They're like, they're not as much. So these are things you have to be self-motivated to do. So maybe you've seen the illustration of people have like a jar, and they have in order to fill the jar, you put the big rocks in first, and then you put the sand in, because that's so important. And the reality is either you'll decide how you're going to spend your time, or someone else will do it for you. So, and then the bottom left is the unimportant and urgent. So you can write the word defer. So these are things like emails, social media, missed calls. We don't have any of those this week. Amen? I love that. Yeah, there's none of those right now, which is great. Pretty much any notification on your phone can probably wait, you know? They need to get done eventually, but they're not actually that important. And then the bottom right is unimportant but not urgent. You can write the word delete. Delete. Eliminate as many things of these as you can. And so here's the principle for that. If it's not adding value to your life, delete it from your life. If it's not adding value to your life, delete it from your life. So deleting unnecessary distractions, what that does is it allows you to fill your life with only the things that are actually valuable. And one thing that I would know is that don't eliminate the things that actually fill your tank. God gave us the gift of pleasure for a purpose. And so for me, I enjoy surfing. I don't delete that out of my life because when I go surfing, it kind of fills my tank. So having a hobby, having something that fills your tank and rejuvenates you, that's a good thing. But again, just to be clear, pleasure is not the purpose of our lives. Pleasure serves the purpose of serving God. It serves a bigger purpose. So the key to trading the good for the great is to let your priorities dictate your plan, not just what's urgent. So back to the story of Mary and Martha. The meal seemed urgent, but Mary, what she chose was she chose the important thing, which was Jesus himself. So that's the first principle, is to trade the good for the great. And the second principle is to trade many things for the most important thing. Martha began to feel sorry for herself. She was doing all the work, and you can almost hear the whiny tone in her voice. Let's read this. It says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.'" So here's a hint. Anytime you start demanding that Jesus do something, you're in trouble, right? Like, you know, don't be that guy or that girl, right? You know, we follow him, he does not follow us. So we cannot demand to Jesus. But also think about this. In Martha's stress, she was actually trying to pull Mary away from listening to Jesus. And this is a really common thing. If someone else is, you know, just overcome with anxiety and they're stressed out about their thing, they want you to come to the rescue of them. And what people sometimes do is they'll manipulate you to do the thing that they want you to do. But you have to learn to say no, even though they might feel really sad or they might think they're going to be upset. You just have to be willing to have people be upset with you. Sorry to break it to you, people pleasers. You know, my wife, she struggles with that. But one verse that's really helped me and helps her is like, there's a verse that's called, it's Proverbs 29, 25, I think. Fear of man will prove a snare, but those who trust in the Lord will be kept safe. So if we are always afraid of disappointing people, you are not going to fulfill your purpose if you are a people pleaser. So what we have to learn is ultimately we live to please God, not other people. So we must be willing to say no, even when seemingly urgent things come to our attention. So, and then another thing that I think is really cool is, let's just read it one more time, and we'll notice what Mary did. It says, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Martha was, it says, Martha was worried and upset by many things, but Mary chose the most important thing, that was Jesus himself. I wonder how much of our anxiety stems from being troubled by so many things rather than simply sitting at the feet of Jesus. And for me, I've found that it's this undistracted living, this living with Christ and communing with Christ. This is what has given me the most joy and peace in my life. Jim Elliot, a great hero of the faith, he simply said, wherever you are, be all there. Nothing else mattered to Mary more than the one that was sitting right in front of her. And let's look at Christ's words to Mary again, to Martha again. He says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Circle that phrase, good portion. The good portion, it's the best part of the meal. If you're having a steak dinner, it's a steak. If it's part of the steak, it's the filet mignon, right? It's the best part of the steak, and it's the bacon that's around the steak, right? Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So Jesus is basically saying, I am the good portion. I am the one that really satisfies, and I will not be taken away from her. Jesus is the ultimate source of satisfaction. Psalm 16:11, he says, you make known to me the paths of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God himself is the one who truly satisfies. So we need to learn to simply sit in his presence. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. He goes on to say, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. There's a lot of great activities that are planned for you here, but I think you would miss a great opportunity if you did not find some time, just carve out some time and sit by the lake. Go sit by the lake and just be with Jesus. Go just rest in his presence and sit and soak in the beauty around you. But fair warning, if you're experienced with silence, it can be a little awkward at first, right? You sit, and what happens is a lot of us, we fill our lives with so many things because if we're honest, we're afraid of the silence. Because we're afraid. When we're silent, that's what comes is all these things that we've been trying to get away from. All the anxieties, all the worries, all the insecurities, they start to bubble up from the surface. And you're forced to face those things head on. But also, that is the very place that you find intimacy with God. So sometimes you have to wade through those hard things in order to get to God. So if you want to develop a sustainable pace in your life and ministry, you must learn to slow down, stop striving, and start sitting with Jesus. See, the most amazing privilege that we have in this life is to spend time with the God of the universe. And every time you open your Bible, you are reading the very words of God. It's been said it's the only book in the world that you get to read with the author. That's pretty cool. George Mueller, he was an extremely busy man. He ran several orphanages, and his secret was he actually supported those orphanages through prayer alone. He never sent out support letters. There's nothing wrong with sending out support letters. I highly recommend it. But he just supported these orphans with prayer. And this is what he said. His was his secret to his faith. He says this, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how I might serve the Lord or how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man may be nourished. I love that idea. He's like, if I do nothing else today, my number one goal, my first priority is to get my soul happy in the Lord. If you stay connected to Christ, you have this idea of abiding in Christ. And so I want to challenge you for the rest of your life, you know, if at all possible, every day, make that your goal, that I want to connect with God as soon as I can, early in the morning. It's not a requirement, but I love my mentor, Max Barnett. Some of you heard stories of Max Barnett. He gave us the 2-for-1 deal. He discipled Paul and I at the same time. And Paul always says that he didn't want to be the twin that didn't memorize the verse. And so that was his motivation. But and this is what he said. He said, if you're too busy to spend time with God, you're busier than God intended you to be. Drop the mic, right? Now, to be clear, there's no command that says you have to have a daily quiet time with God every day. But for many believers, I have yet to meet a lifelong laborer who doesn't have that practice. Jesus said that the key to bearing spiritual fruit is abiding in him. John 15:5 says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit apart from the vine, we cannot bear any spiritual fruit apart from staying vitally connected to Christ. The idea here is that if there's no connection, there's no production. We must abide in him. We must make that our priority. And as we stay connected to him, this word abide, it means to continue in or to live in. Kind of making Christ your home. We live in Christ and Christ lives in us. And as we do that, we experience spiritual fruit flowing naturally out of our lives. In verse 7 and 8, he continues. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. I love this idea that if you notice the way he words it, he says, my words abide in you. So I also have done this a long time. I've been, you know, trying to do a quiet time for a long time. And sometimes your goal, if you're honest, is to get through it, right? But the goal should not be to get through it. The goal is for it to get through you, right? To get into the word until the word gets into you. And those are the people that God uses. The people that meditate on his word day and night. They are like the tree that is planted by streams of water. I'm sure I'm using one of Seth's verses, but you know, like his delight is in the law of the Lord. And over time, in season, it produces fruit. That is the way to become a lifelong laborer. And notice he says that when you are abiding in his word, then your prayers start to reflect God's heart. And so biblical prayer leads to answered prayer. So for me, in my quiet times, I love to couple the word of God, and then it flows pretty naturally right into prayer. And I love using the Psalms. It's almost like cheating, right? It's like, you know, they have written down these prayers. If you don't know what to pray, just open a Psalm. It's right there. Pray the Psalms. Right? I like to write down different attributes of God. So one, and actually this is George Mueller. He continued on, I think it was the same article that he wrote. He says this when he was describing his time in the word and prayer. He says, the first thing I did after having asked a few words, the Lord's blessing upon his precious word, was to begin to meditate on the word of God, searching as it were into every verse to get the blessing out of it, not for the sake of public ministry of the word, not for the sake of preaching or on what I meditated upon, but for the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. I love that. The result I have found to be almost invariably this, that after a very few minutes, my soul has been led to confession or to thanksgiving or to intercession or to supplication, so that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but to meditation, yet it turned almost immediately more or less into prayer. Isn't that cool? So I would say meditation is kind of the key. That if you're just reading the word and then you close your Bible, all right, now it's time for my prayer, I think you might be missing a key link. That as we meditate on scripture, our meditation of the word can overflow into prayer. And so he lingers over scripture. He meditates on it in an unhurried way. So some of you might have to cut down the amount of verses that you're reading, and just read a few less. Read a little bit less so that you can get a little bit deeper into it. And it naturally overflowed into prayer. And so the way I kind of define meditation, the guys in the car, I told them this, but it's basically using your imagination to think of the implications and applications of what you're reading. So what you're doing is you're kind of mulling around in your heart. You're looking at the diamond. You're looking at the multiple facets of the diamond, and you're just enjoying it. Part of it is delighting in it, enjoying it. And that's what makes it come alive. To make this more tangible, I just want to share kind of my morning routine, and there's nothing special about it. And to be and you know, not to brag at all, because it does not happen like this every day. And a lot of times I have three little boys at home. My quiet times are not that quiet, right? There's someone climbing on me. There's sometimes you know, music in the background, whatever. But here's generally what I do. I wake up in the morning and I grab my energy drink, you know, or cold brew or coffee, and I get in my lazy boy in my living room, pop my feet up, grab my Bible, my journal, my pen. I almost always have a plan. I almost always have a plan that I'm reading through. Currently, I'm doing the one-year Bible, which is a little bit of the Old Testament, New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb. And I always like having a psalm, like I said, because that's great fuel and fodder for your prayer. And I found, as I actually read through the psalms, another thing that's fun is just pull out like an attribute of God and write down maybe 5 attributes of God from that psalm. See how many attributes of God that you can find. And then on my journal, I have this, it's called the 5-year journal. It's like, it has like a little thing on each day that for 5 years you can look back. And I write down like 5 things I'm thankful for. Just pretty simple. A lot of times, sometimes it's the same things. And then I move, if necessary, to repentance, and then whatever prayer requests come to my mind. And then also in my back of my journal, I have my prayer list. I'm going to talk to you guys next week, tomorrow, about evangelism and then discipleship. And so we have our impact list. You guys have heard about that. But I have my impact list. I have other prayer requests that I'm praying for. And then that's pretty much it. When I'm done, if I have extra time, sometimes I'll read a chapter of whatever book that I'm reading through. And then I get ready for my day. So my system's not perfect, but it works for me. So I don't worry about copying my system, but I want to challenge you, find a system that works for you. Find a place, find a plan, find a way that you can make it something that you look forward to, something that you enjoy, something that helps you to connect with God. So what I've found, again, like I said, a lot of people are too reading heavy. So if you need to cut some reading in order to give yourself more time to meditate and pray, I really highly encourage you that. And yeah, I think another thing, like I mentioned at the beginning, is that if you're gonna walk with Jesus, you're probably gonna have to sacrifice sleep. So I wanna challenge you, like go to bed 30 minutes earlier than you used to go to bed. I know that's crazy, right? But if you just watch one episode instead of two, right? That's all it is, right? And it's just amazing how fast those little timers are. They used to be like 20 seconds. Now they're like 2 seconds, right? Until the next episode. But you just have to be intentional. Just say, I'm going to bed at 10:30. I'm going to bed at 10. And just have a hard, hard deadline on it. And again, I've been trying to do that, and it's been really worth it. It's been helpful because, you know, that can wait. The office can wait. It's going to be the same next time too. So what is your next step? What do you think, what do you feel like the Lord is putting on your heart? Maybe just go ahead and look at your paper. Maybe write down what's one of those phrases. What's a verse? What's something that's standing out to you right now? Maybe it is to trade the good for the great. Maybe there's something on your mind that you already know that you need to say no to. Maybe for you, you've been serving Jesus and you've been laying down your life, you've been sacrificing at challenge, but honestly, you have not been abiding in Christ. You haven't been trusting him for his power to flow through you. Maybe you need to go back and say, I want to make him the most important thing in my life. How can you go to the next level with your time alone with God? Maybe just one simple thing. If there's one thing that you do that's a little bit different, that's going to help you, that's worth it. Whatever it is, my hope is that we could say the same thing that Jesus said about Mary, about us. That Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the privilege of getting to sit with you, getting to be with you, that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you so much that we have the words of you, Jesus. We have your teachings. And what an amazing privilege it is to spend time with you and invest in you. And I pray if there's anyone here tonight and there's things that they know that they need to say no to, they need to cut out of their life, I pray that you give them wisdom. And I pray as they're even analyzing that you would help each of us to invest in what is best in our life so that we can make the biggest impact possible. In Jesus' name, amen.